When Jillian McAllister texted her friend on November 27, 2019, about writing a book like Russian Doll but about knife crime, she couldn't have predicted the phenomenon she would create. Wrong Place, Wrong Time quickly became a Sunday Times bestseller and a Reese Witherspoon book club pick, captivating readers with its mind-bending premise. The novel follows Jen, a mother who witnesses her teenage son commit murder, then wakes up the next day to find herself inexplicably traveling backward through time. As she jumps further into the past, Jen realizes she might have the power to prevent the crime from ever happening. This riveting psychological thriller explores the lengths a mother will go to protect her child, while challenging our understanding of time, fate, and the consequences of our choices. It begins on a cold October night, the kind where fallen leaves skitter across empty sidewalks and porch lights cast long shadows. Jen sits at her kitchen table, methodically carving a Halloween pumpkin while checking her phone for the 100th time. Her husband Kelly stands in the doorway in his pajamas, gently urging her to come to bed, but she waves him off. She won't sleep until their 18-year-old son Todd is home safe. The kitchen clock reads 01:59 when the annual fall ritual occurs, clocks turning back an hour, giving this night an extra eerie dimension as time loops back to 0100. Through the window, past the orange glow of her half-finished jack-o'-lantern, Jen spots Todd's familiar silhouette approaching their house. Relief floods through her until she notices something else, a stranger materializing from the shadows of their normally peaceful suburban street. Before she can process what's happening, before she can even call out a warning, Todd turns to face the man. In three terrible seconds that will replay in Jen's mind forever, her son produces a knife and plunges it repeatedly into the stranger's body. The aftermath unfolds like scenes from a horror movie she can't stop watching. Red and blue lights strobe across their white colonial house as police cruisers converge. Jen kneels on her driveway, her hands pressed against the stranger's wounds, her lawyer's mind already cataloging details even as her mother's heart shatters. The victim's blood seeps into her gardening jeans. She'd been planting bulbs that afternoon, planning for spring, while autumn destroyed her world. When she demands answers from Todd, his response chills her more than his actions. "I had to. There was no choice." His voice is calm, certain, as if he's explaining a simple math problem rather than an act of violence. Despite Jen's rapid-fire legal arguments, she spent 20 years in criminal defense, and Kelly's desperate pleas, they watch helplessly as Todd is handcuffed and placed in a police car. At 18, he's legally an adult, a fact Jen knows too well, but can't quite reconcile with the child who still has superhero posters on his bedroom walls. Todd seems oddly composed, almost relieved, as the car pulls away, leaving his parents standing in their blood-stained driveway beneath the harvest moon. This opening sequence establishes the central mystery that will haunt every page that follows. What could have driven Todd, honor student, volunteer coach, kid who still calls his grandmother every Sunday, to commit such a shocking act of violence? The horror of that night is amplified by the mundane domesticity that preceded it. A mother's vigil, a Halloween pumpkin grinning vacantly from the windowsill, the routine changing of the clocks marking time's passage. The juxtaposition creates a devastating portrait of how violence can erupt in even the most ordinary lives, shattering not just one family's sense of security, but an entire community's illusion of safety in a single irreversible instant. When Jen wakes the next morning, her body feels heavy with the weight of yesterday's trauma. She steeled herself to face the aftermath of Todd's arrest, the lawyers, the police interviews, the inevitable neighborhood gossip. Instead, she finds herself disoriented and alone in her bed, the morning light casting unfamiliar shadows. Determined to help her son, she tries to make sense of his actions, methodically recalling recent warning signs she'd dismissed. The sudden mood swings, his growing isolation from old friends, the disturbing drawing she'd found crumpled in his wastebasket. all categorized as typical teenage behavior at the time. The sound of footsteps and muffled music from upstairs freezes her in place. When she investigates, she finds Todd in his bedroom, not in a holding cell, sprawled across his bed with headphones on, completely at ease. He's wearing the same red hoodie he'd had on during his arrest, but it's clean now, unmarked by violence. He acts entirely normal, casually mentioning plans to meet his friend Connor at the mall and showing genuine bewilderment when Jen frantically brings up his arrest. As Todd insists the clocks don't go back until tomorrow and that it's Friday, not Saturday, Jen's attention is drawn to their front yard through his window. The elaborately carved Halloween pumpkin, the one she distinctly remembers placing there yesterday, is missing. With mounting horror, she realizes something impossible has happened. She somehow slipped backward through time to the day before the stabbing. This realization triggers an intense physical response. Jen barely makes it to the bathroom before violent nausea overtakes her. She vomits, producing only bitter stomach acid that reminds her viscerally of morning sickness during her pregnancy with Todd. The comparison strikes her as darkly appropriate. She's experiencing the birth of a new reality, one that defies everything she thought she knew about the natural order of things. Desperate for confirmation, she calls Kelly, her closest friend and usual voice of reason. But Kelly has no recollection of Todd's arrest or any events from what Jen remembers as yesterday. The final proof comes when Jen discovers an uncarved pumpkin sitting innocently on the kitchen counter, the very same one she clearly remembers spending hours carving with Todd just yesterday. She begins to question her own sanity, wondering if grief and shock have finally broken her grip on reality. McAllister's masterful narrative structure reveals its brilliance here. By moving backward through time, readers experience Jen's profound disorientation firsthand. Each day brings new revelations about the past that might explain Todd's future actions, creating a mystery that unfolds in reverse, like a puzzle being disassembled. The time travel element transcends mere literary device, serving as a powerful metaphor for the universal parental desire to turn back time and prevent their children's mistakes, a desire that becomes desperate when those mistakes have catastrophic consequences. As Jen continues to move backward through time, she becomes increasingly desperate to understand what led to that fatal night. She searches Todd's room and discovers a hidden bundle containing three alarming items: a Merseyside police badge belonging to someone named Ryan Hiles, a missing baby poster, and a burner phone. The phone contains text messages with three contacts, including someone named Nicola Williams, who discusses mysterious plans involving a baby. This discovery propels Jen into detective mode. She visits the police station, giving a false name to inquire about Ryan Hiles. When pressed, she reports her son for potentially carrying a knife, hoping this smaller crime investigation might prevent the murder. The officer shows recognition at Todd's name and promises to investigate. Before leaving, Jen asks about missing babies but receives no answer. Later, she follows Todd to a wealthy neighborhood where he enters a house registered to Cutting and Sewing Limited, a recently established company owned by Ezra Michaels and Joseph Jones. As she waits in the cold autumn evening, someone exits the house, and Jen finds herself face to face with the man who will be murdered in 2 days. Joseph Jones, the future victim, is a mid-40s man with a dark beard and distinctive elfin ears. When she introduces herself as Todd's mother, Joseph seems to already know her, dismissively assuring her Todd is in safe hands. Inside the house, she meets Ezra, Joseph's business partner, and the uncle of Todd's girlfriend, Cleo. What makes this investigation particularly poignant is how it forces Jen to confront how little she truly knows about her son's life. Like many parents of teenagers, she's been existing on the periphery, accepting surface explanations and missing the deeper currents. The time loop becomes an opportunity to see her son clearly, perhaps for the first time since he entered adolescence. As Jen jumps further back in time, a complex web of criminal activity begins to emerge. She follows Ezra from his house to Birkenhead Port, where she witnesses him helping change license plates on a Tesla before shipping it off, revealing his involvement in car theft. She overhears Kelly on a burner phone arranging to deliver a spare key for a stolen car, suggesting her husband is somehow involved in this criminal enterprise. When confronted, Kelly admits the car is stolen but refuses to explain further, warning her urgently, "Do not look into that baby, and do not look into Joseph Jones either." When Jen presses him, Kelly finally reveals, "You're in danger, Jen." Meanwhile, we're introduced to Ryan Hiles, a young police constable whose story runs parallel to Jen's. Ryan begins his career filled with idealistic determination to change the world, but quickly becomes disillusioned by the mundane reality of police work. He's recruited for undercover work, tasked with infiltrating a car theft operation connected to Ezra Michaels and Joseph Jones. The narrative takes a shocking turn when Jen discovers that Joseph Jones was recently released after serving 20 years in prison for numerous crimes: drug supply, robbery, counterfeiting, and violence. Even more disturbing, Joseph seems to have known Kelly before his prison sentence, referring to him as an old friend and wanting to restart something. These revelations force Jen to question everything about her husband: his aversion to travel, parties, and formal employment, his mysterious income, his dark edge and unwillingness to compromise, all take on new significance in light of his possible criminal connections. The investigation becomes not just about saving Todd from committing murder, but about uncovering the truth about the man she's been married to for decades. In a stunning revelation, Jen discovers her husband's entire identity as a fabrication. Following Kelly to Liverpool Crown Court, she witnesses him testifying in Joseph Jones's trial, not as a criminal associate, but as Witness B, an anonymous undercover police officer who had infiltrated Jones's organized crime gang. Hidden behind a black curtain with his voice barely disguised, Kelly testifies about infiltrating the gang after a baby was stolen. When confronted, Kelly finally admits the truth. His real name is Ryan, and he's been living undercover as Kelly since infiltrating Joseph Jones's criminal organization. Though he left the police years ago, he maintained his false identity because revealing the truth could expose him to Joseph and lead to criminal charges for fraud and impersonation. If Joseph ever discovered his true identity, he'd come and kill me. This revelation recontextualizes their entire marriage. For 20 years, Kelly has lived under an assumed identity, never telling Jen his real name. When Joseph was released from prison, he tried to recruit Kelly back into his criminal organization. Kelly was trapped. Refusing would reveal his undercover past, while complying meant becoming an actual criminal. The implications for their son are equally significant. Todd must have discovered his father's secret and the danger Joseph posed. When Joseph came for Kelly, Todd, having bought a knife after learning about the danger, recognized the armed Joseph and killed him to protect his father. This twist transforms our understanding of the opening murder. What initially appeared to be a senseless act of violence by a troubled teenager is revealed to be an act of protection, a son defending his father from a genuine threat. The moral complexity deepens as we realize Todd's actions, while still resulting in a man's death, came from a place of love and self-sacrifice. As Jen continues moving backward through time, she eventually arrives at January 12th, the day a baby named Eve will be kidnapped, according to the news story she saw. Determined to prevent this tragedy, she visits Merseyside Police Station asking for Ryan or Kelly, revealing her knowledge of his undercover operation. Though Kelly doesn't recognize her, they haven't met yet in this timeline, she provides the address where the burglary will occur that night. The police successfully intercept the teenage burglars before they can kidnap baby Eve, though Joseph escapes. This intervention changes the course of history.
Eve is saved, and the investigation into her kidnapping never leads Ryan to infiltrate Joseph's gang as deeply as he did in the original timeline. After the operation, Jen approaches Kelly outside the station. Despite his wariness with this stranger who somehow knows his dual identities, their conversation sparks the same connection that will eventually lead to their marriage. As rain falls around them, Kelly asks the fateful question, "Do I know you? From before today?" Jen laughs, responding, "Not yet." In this moment, Jen recognizes the true nature of their relationship. Kelly fell in love with her so deeply he gave up his identity for her. Rather than meeting her as part of his undercover investigation into her father's criminal connections, as happened in the original timeline, they now meet because of her intervention to save Eve. This revelation adds another layer of complexity to their relationship. In the original timeline, their meeting was predicated on deception. Kelly was investigating her father when they first met. Despite discovering her father's corruption, Kelly fell in love with Jen and chose to keep both his true identity and her father's crime secret from her. What Jen initially interpreted as betrayal is revealed to be a kindness born from love. Throughout her journey backward through time, Jen learns that seemingly small actions can have enormous consequences, the butterfly effect that Todd himself mentions during one of their conversations. This principle, where minor alterations create rippling changes throughout time, becomes the novel's central mechanism for exploring causality and fate. Each small decision Jen makes, from saving a child to changing a conversation, creates waves of change that transform the future in ways she couldn't have predicted. When Jen returns to Day Zero at 1 a.m., she finds herself on the familiar landing where everything began. The pumpkin sits there like a sentinel of time, and her husband emerges from the bedroom just as before. But the world has shifted in profound ways. She discovers she's still practicing law, maintaining her professional identity. But Ryan has transformed into his authentic self, a policeman, no longer hiding behind fabricated personas. Todd calls up the stairs, alive and well, his voice carrying none of the darkness that once drove him to walk the streets with murderous intent. The most startling revelation comes when Jen mentions Cleo to Todd. His confused response and casual reference to his girlfriend Eve triggers a stunning realization. Eve Green is Cleo, the same baby Jen saved from kidnapping years ago. This connection forms perhaps the most elegant demonstration of the butterfly effect in the narrative. By saving that infant, Jen unknowingly shaped the future of her own family, creating ripples that would eventually bring Eve/Cleo back into their lives in a completely different role. This resolution weaves a complex tapestry of free will and destiny. While Jen's interventions dramatically altered specific events, preventing a kidnapping, preserving Ryan's true identity, saving Todd's life, certain patterns proved resilient. The fact that Todd and Eve still found each other, despite their radically different life trajectories, suggests the existence of deeper connections that transcend individual timelines. Their relationship appears to be one of those rare constants that persist across different versions of reality, pointing to something beyond mere coincidence. The butterfly effect's influence extends far beyond Jen's immediate circle. The epilogue reveals Pauline, Connor's mother, experiencing her own time loop, hinting at a broader phenomenon taking root. The novel draws a fascinating parallel to the concept of hysterical strength, those documented cases where humans, particularly mothers protecting their children, display seemingly impossible physical capabilities. This connection suggests that the time loops might be tied to something fundamental in maternal instinct, a mother's desperate need to protect her child, manifesting as the ability to bend time itself. This interpretation adds a profound layer to the story's exploration of maternal love and its power to transcend normal limitations. At its emotional core, Wrong Place, Wrong Time is an exploration of motherhood, its joys, challenges, and the complex feelings of guilt that often accompany it. Throughout her journey through time, Jen is forced to confront her own shortcomings as a mother, revealing the universal struggle many parents face in balancing career demands with family life and personal fulfillment. When Todd casually remarks, "You never usually are interested in his work," it triggers deep maternal guilt as Jen realizes her son believes she doesn't listen to him. This seemingly offhand comment pierces through her self-image as a good mother, forcing her to acknowledge how her dismissive attitude toward his interests has affected their relationship. She has an emotional epiphany, realizing she's been wrong to treat his intellectualism as something to laugh off rather than engage with. This realization leads to a heartfelt confession of love that touches Todd, creating a tender moment between them, one that shows how vulnerability and honesty can bridge the gaps between parent and child. As Jen travels further back in time, she encounters Todd at different ages, as a curious toddler fascinated by building blocks, a 13-year-old passionately discussing Brexit at the dinner table, as a 15-year-old excited about his science fair project on quantum mechanics. These encounters allow her to appreciate aspects of her son she had previously overlooked or taken for granted. She witnesses his intellectual development, his emotional growth, and the formation of his unique personality traits. At the science fair, unlike her first time living this day when she was distracted by work emails and bored by technical discussions, Jen now focuses entirely on Todd and his interests, seeing him through new eyes. When he excitedly explains chemical formulas and theories about time being non-linear, she listens attentively rather than glazing over as she once did. His enthusiasm becomes contagious, and she finds herself genuinely fascinated by his explanations. She compliments his intelligence with specific observations rather than generic praise. Shares a donut with him despite her former diet concerns, recognizing that these small moments of connection matter more than calorie counting, and cherishes his uninhibited laughter, storing away these precious memories. These experiences force Jen to confront her own struggles with motherhood, her initial difficulties bonding with Pod as a colicky baby, her tendency to be distracted by work calls during family dinners, her failure to fully engage with his interests in science and philosophy. She realizes how often she chose convenience over connection, efficiency over engagement. Yet these revelations also showcase the depth of her love for her son and her willingness to do anything, even bend the laws of physics, to protect him. Through her temporal journey, Jen learns that perfect motherhood isn't about being present for every moment, but about making the moments when you are present truly count. The narrative weaves together themes of maternal sacrifice, redemption, and the complicated nature of parent-child relationships. It demonstrates how love can transcend time itself, and how the opportunity to see our children and ourselves through different perspectives can lead to profound personal growth and healing. The novel's conclusion offers a profound meditation on memory, identity, and the nature of time itself. When Jen wakes on October 30th feeling like her entire life is ahead of her, Todd mentions she said weird shit the night before about someone called Cleo, but Jen has no recollection of who Cleo is. The memory of her time travel experience has completely faded. This amnesia raises philosophical questions about the nature of experience. If Jen doesn't remember her journey through time, did it really happen? Does it matter if she can't recall the lesson she learned? The novel suggests that on some level, the changes she made and the insight she gained remain with her, even if not consciously accessible. The reset also offers Jen a kind of grace, the opportunity to live without the burden of knowing too much about the past or future. In her journey through time, she learned painful truths about her husband's deception, her father's corruption, and the violent potential within her son. Now she can experience her relationships without these shadows, appreciating the present moment without being weighed down by knowledge of what might have been. This resolution speaks to a universal human desire to correct our mistakes, to undo harm, to have a fresh start. While most of us can't literally travel back in time, the novel suggests that understanding, forgiveness, and changed behavior can create new futures that aren't determined by our past errors. Through Jen's extraordinary journey, McAllister offers readers a powerful reminder. While we can't change the past, we can always change how we engage with the present, potentially altering the course of the future in ways we never imagined possible. In this sense, we all have the power to create our own time loops, not by physically moving backward, but by learning from our mistakes and choosing differently going forward.